Across the United States, Indigenous families are searching for their loved ones. For closure.
We would tell each other, what do you think she said? And what was her last words? You know, did she cry for help or did she pray?
The missing and murder Indigenous women.
Hauka, this is Mary.
Ketanani, this is Sylvia.
And welcome to the Native Sisters Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hello, hello.
Did you miss us? We're back so soon.
It's been more than a week, but less than 2 weeks.
Yep, we're on it. And so we have a story this week for you.
Again.
Again? Yeah. Shut it. Anyways, we're just going to jump right in today. What do you got for us?
I have an MMIM story. And I've been kind of working on it for a little bit, and I just barely started to really finish it. So a while ago...
Did we want to share the event that we're going to be attending? There's a MMIP event with the DOJ. It's going to be at Saboba Casino on September 30th. And they're offering assistance with finding out. You could report somebody missing there. You can get updated information. This is specific for Southern California.
This story right here is not in Southern California, but it reminds me in some ways a bear story. And like if I talked with his mom a little bit, well, I messaged her. And then I was reading like some of the stuff on reports and stuff or letters that she wrote. And like you ask like what do you do? Because a lot of people don't know, like, what do you do when somebody goes missing? What do you do? Nobody knows. Like, I mean, that's not like something that some people think about until it happens.
Yeah.
So, like, both, you know, this case and Bear's case, you know, the parents are like, don't wait. Don't wait around. As soon as something comes up and you don't, if it's at a place that you don't see them, then call. Because once, you know, it gets things moving faster.
Yeah, and now they tell, like, the sheriffs, they tell you to report it right away. And to mention that they're Native or Indigenous, that they put the feather alert.
I've heard of the feather alert. Is it a thing now?
Yeah,
because I remember when Elijah had that thing with his daughter. He called and was like, oh, the feather alert. And they're like, no, that's not even a thing.
No, it is now.
When did it start?
This year, I believe.
We need to have Elijah come on the show and talk about what happened to him.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it passed in 2023. Yeah. Designed to help the state find Indigenous people who have gone missing under unexplained or suspicious circumstance. Feather Alert will work similar to the Amber Alert.
So I saw something on the Mountain Empire community page on Facebook, and it was like a picture of this guy, and it was like missing since Friday. And remember when I went over to go talk to Vince the Prince at his booth? There was a guy sitting there with a green, it's a shirt that says The Green Store. That's like our local store here.
Yeah.
And it was the guy.
That was missing?
I'm pretty sure it was. Like, I'm like 99.9% sure that was the same guy. But it said, missing since Friday, has Alzheimer's, is a good guy, but gets confused. And I'm pretty sure that was a guy. And then I went to go look again after I was thinking about it, and I couldn't find the post, so maybe he's found.
I don't know. Well, sometimes people do things like that. Like, somebody that we know, reported her uncle missing, and he was not missing. We knew exactly where he was, but she's crazy. The lady was crazy and reported him missing. I'm like, he's at home. He just doesn't want to talk to you.
He's only missing you. That's it. Everybody else is still around him.
Yeah, and she didn't even, like, call us or anything. She just made assumptions. We're like, we know he's at, and he's not missing.
Yeah. For real. Okay, so we're going to that. When is that again? September.
September 30th. It's on a Saturday.
30th on a Saturday, yeah. In Saboba.
They're expecting like 300 to 500.
Did we RSVP?
Not yet, but I'm going to.
Okay.
We'll get it done right after this.
Okay, so before this, me and Mary were talking about. You know, I know it's supposed to be Mary and I, but I just say Mary and me, and I don't care what other people think about it.
You know, my grammar.
I don't have to be proper.
Always tries to correct me and
who?
Put me.
Grammarly?
Grammarly. Ugh. It always puts the person and me. I was like, isn't it I?
You don't have to say I. It could be anything, but it just needs to be the other person in front of you. Which I ain't cool with. Just kidding. I'm just playing. But we were talking about this. Mary got a taco shop for dinner, and the burritos were not great. And then we were talking about how people make their tacos, Indian tacos, regular tacos, whatever. So we want to know what you think, because both her and I agree that the cheese needs to go on top of the meat or the beans.
Yes.
So it can melt.
You want the
but
cheese to melt.
A lot of people I know put the cheese on top of the lettuce and tomato, so it doesn't melt at all. It's just cheese.
They do that in a lot of places. Like when they serve Indian tacos, at place, they'll put the cheese on top. Imagine the cheese.
I request that the cheese go on the meat. I tell them that.
I don't ever think about
otherwise
that.
I'm not a big cheese person, though. Like, I don't eat chunks of cheese like some people do. I don't do that.
Chunks of
so,
cheese.
So, like, if I can...
Cube cheese.
Like, it changes the taste of the taco. Like, there's a difference between it being melted and it being shredded without no melt at all. It changes the taste of the taco.
I prefer my cheese melted.
Me too.
Or on the meat.
Yes, exactly.
So tell us, message us. Tell us what you think.
Yeah, we'll put a poll up on Instagram. Go and vote.
So we will. I don't know how to do that.
Mary's going to do it because I really don't know how to do it.
We're going to figure this out together.
We'll do it. We'll find somebody on Fiverr that knows how to do it.
Fiverr.
Anyway.
You don't get it. You gotta go back and listen to episodes.
Yeah.
Fiverr. Okay.
Alrighty.
Your story. You ready to jump in?
Here we go. Okay, so the story I am doing today is on Matthew Bronco. Have you heard of him?
No.
So, the research that I did on this, there's not a whole lot. Like, it's a lot of repetitive information. So, I used an article that his mom said that. I was talking with his mom, and she...
You spoke to his mom?
Well, I was messaging her.
Oh, okay.
And, she sent me an article that somebody did on him, and she liked it. So I used that information, and then I used a letter that I found online that she wrote. I'm not sure who she wrote it to. It said legislative. I'm not sure who. Bucks Elder Sheriff investigators. Maybe she was writing to them. I don't know. So in all of this stuff that I read and researched, I listened to podcasts about this, and nobody said anything about him going to Sherman. So he went to Sherman. He graduated from Sherman in 2003. So he was a Shermanite.
He was at Sherman when I was at Sherman.
He was at Sherman when I was at Sherman. He...
Oh, wait.
When you were in your freshman year.
Oh. What do you mean when you were at Sherman?
Yeah.
You were not there in 2003.
Okay, but he was there.
You were following
your dreams.
No,
he was like a sophomore when I was there.
Oh,
So he was like below me, but he was still there when I was there. You know what I mean? Okay. I remember him, all right? I remember his name. I remember, but I don't know. I don't know if it's like his sister or his cousin, but I remember somebody who was related to him more than I remember him. So if you don't know what Sherman is, Sherman Indian High School, it's an all Indian high school, boarding school in Riverside, California.
We both went there.
Yeah, both me and Mary both went there, plus other people that we know, my mom, my aunt, back when it was an institution, but it's not like that anymore completely, but the BIA still runs it. But if you want to know more about it, Mary did an episode on Sherman, kind of.
We and did scary stories.
It's still Sherman.
We talked about it.
Episode 20. Go check it out. So, on March 20th, 2019, Matthew's mom, Cynthia Metz, it says Cynthia Metz, but when I was messaging her, it said Cinder. So I don't know if that may be like a name she goes by. I'm just going to say Cynthia.
Okay.
So Cynthia Metz, saw her son. So Matthew lived with his mom at the time when he went.
How old is Matthew when he went?
34.
Okay, that's my age.
So he went, so he was living with his mom because he just went through a breakup and he was staying with his mom. And she said there wasn't like nothing really like obvious that he was like going through some stuff, maybe a little because he just, you know, was going through a time. But like the last time when she saw him at her house, it was normal. It wasn't like, you know, and he left the house and he didn't seem like he was going to be gone for any significant amount of time. It was just like, okay, see you later kind of thing. And so nothing seemed unusual. And when he left, he left in his truck and he had his dog, a Dachshund. A weenie dog, right? That's what a weenie dog is?
Yeah.
Wiener dog. Her name was Afa. On the day that Matthew left his house, it was a Wednesday. And his mom hadn't heard from him and it already was Friday. So 2 days she didn't hear from him. So she kind of began to get a little worried. So on Friday morning, his mom was able to access his location on his phone through GPS. So she just, I don't know how to do any of that stuff either. Or I don't know how you have access to that on somebody else's phone.
Well, if you share your location.
Okay, so maybe they had some kind of a deal where they knew where each other were all the time. So she found the location where her son's phone was, and it was in Snowville, Utah, which was 133 miles from where she was. They're in Fort Hall, Idaho. So they're Shoshone-Bannock. So it was 133 miles from where their house was. So she talked with some of her family members, and then she decided to drive out there to go wherever his phone was, because she wanted to find him because she hadn't heard from him. So when she got to the location, she located Matthew's truck, and it was off of Interstate 84. It says about 300 yards off the freeway past the stop sign, and Matthew was not in his truck, or Afa the dog was not there either. But what was there was his cell phone, obviously, and his wallet, which had all of his IDs, his bank cards, his credit cards, everything was in his wallet. So that was all in the car too. And it didn't say if she had a like an extra key or if it was locked or not. I don't know, it didn't say. So she checked around the general area, but it was like late already. I think it said that when she got out there it was already 8 p.m. So she searched around the general area and went into the nearby small town of Snowville and showed pictures of Matthew to the gas station attendant and to an employee of the restaurant, and nobody recognized him. So she left her name and her number, and hoping that somebody would call if they saw Matthew or Afa. And then she drove back home. So, but also that night, Matthew's mom called the Box Elder County, which is the county that Snowville, Utah's in. She called the sheriff's department there and just kind of gave him information about the situation, I guess. And the deputy talked to her and... Okay, so this must have been before she drove back home. So the officer talked to her and said that there was a deputy that was on a different call and the response was going to be delayed like 30 minutes. So she decided just to drive back home because it was already late and it was snowing then. So she kind of in her heart felt like when she got home, Matthew was going to be there, like something happened in his truck and he was on his way home. Mm-hmm. So she drove back home. And Matthew was not at her home, and when he still didn't return the next day and she had not heard from him, she filed a missing persons report with the Fort Hall Police Department, which is where they live. Mm-hmm. And that was on March 23rd. It says 4 days after she saw him. So the next day, family and friends went to Snowville to search for Matt, and they continued searching for Matt for days after day after day with no sign of Matt still. And on March 25th, his mom went into the Box Elder Sheriff Department to file a missing persons report since Matt's truck was located in that county. But she was given the runaround again. They told her that since she had already filed with Fort Hall police, because remember she filed with Fort Hall when she got mm-hmm. back into town, they told her that since she had already filed in Fort Hall, that they would give Box Elder the information they needed. So they didn't need anything from
her. They always say that, and they never do it. Because everybody knows that they don't communicate.
Yeah. So that's what they told her. And so then... still no sign of Matthew. And 6 days after Matthew went missing, his dog, Afa, was found by a resident of Snowville. And it was found 2 miles from where Matt's truck was located off the interstate. And so Afa is a Dachshund, which is like a little wiener dog. And they're like... They're not outside dogs, and remember how it was snowing the night,
Yeah.
So there had been, like, weather in the area, so it's kind of, just kind of seems weird that she survived that.
Yeah.
6 days.
Well, people tend to take them in and not report them, or report them missing, like, here.
So maybe this person picked the dog up, like, days before.
Yeah, and then they just
didn't until they found out that somebody was looking for the dog.
Yeah.
Which happens here all the time.
Yeah.
Mary's dog got stolen.
Yeah.
Still haven't heard from her. But we know that somebody has her because...
Two of my dogs got stolen.
Well... Okay, we'll tell the dog stories later.
Yeah. Talk about it later.
Anyways. So we don't really know what the situation is with the dog. We just know that she is found 6 days after he went missing. So then Cynthia called the Box Elder Sheriff's Office to update them on the information that Matt's dog had been found. And she was told they were in the field doing an extensive search for Matt at the time. So they were professionals and they didn't need anybody getting in the way of their search. Pretty much, thanks for the info. We got it.
Mm-hmm. Jerks.
Yeah. So the next day, friends and family and the Shoshone-Bannock Fish and Game conducted a search for Matt. A very extensive search with a lot of people. I think they said like 50 family and friends plus the departments that mm-hmm. came from the Shoshone-Bannock tribe. And still no sign of Matt. not in the general area or area where they were. I think I read that they had a drone, like a personal use drone, because the sheriff's office said that they needed permission from, I think, the landowners or somebody in the area to fly their drone.
Yeah.
Which I think is stupid if you're in a search and rescue operation,
they
right?
They should have authorization to do that. Did his mom say that he had friends in that area or that she knew
and
of anybody?
It didn't say that she thought that it was anybody out there that he was going to see. Like, they didn't know why he was there.
Yeah.
So, also, there was a, I don't know when it was, but there was a report to the detective from a high school student that said that she saw Matt walking Alpha near the exit where his truck had been found around 4 p.m. on the day he went missing. But nothing ever came from that, and still nobody has seen Matt. And then it says, on March 29th, Matt's truck and his belongings were taken to the Box Elder Police Department, where it was stored in their possession until it could be processed. And nothing ever came from that. So,
what about his cell phone? Did they
That was also in something that I read, that his mom, the letter that his mom wrote, saying that, that information that was in the truck, like the phone records, might have led to information, like his calls leading up to the day he was missing might have led to a lead or something.
Yeah.
But that they're only available for a certain amount of time, and the time had expired before that happened. You know what I mean? So like the records are only available for a certain amount of time. And if you don't request them, then you can't get them. That's just like there was a gas station surveillance.
Shouldn't that be like the police?
Yeah.
Getting all the information ahead of time.
It should be the police.
Especially when they're doing like a big search.
It's not a priority to them. Like, a lot of people are going to say, this is an adult. He can do what he wants. What if he just wants to be missing and he doesn't want to hear from anybody?
That's their excuse.
Yeah, it's an excuse. Yeah. Also, the video surveillance at the gas station, why couldn't they request that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing, too, is that, like, why was his truck there? Why was it abandoned? Because his mom ended up taking the truck home or driving it away from the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't have gas in it. Like, it was really, really close to being empty. So maybe he ran out, or I don't know if he ran out of gas, obviously not, but maybe he was getting real low on gas and didn't think he was going to make it to the gas station, and something happened to him.
Maybe. And he was going to get gas.
Yeah. And took his dog with him.
Maybe. What if somebody picked him up off the road or something?
Yep. It's basically in the middle of nowhere. Like, that's what it sounds like. I've never been to Utah, that part of Utah. I think Utah is the state where you drive through, like, the freeway, and there's that big billboard that says no gas for, like, 170 miles. I think that's Utah.
I've never been to Utah. I don't know.
I drove through it, but I've never stopped.
Because there was nowhere to stop. Look
what happens when you stop in Utah.
Yeah.
Jeez, Utah's horrible. Like, I don't know. There's, like, nothing out there. Anyways, if you live in Utah, no offense to you. We love Utah. Reports. Okay, wait. So there was an investigator who was working on the case, and he'd gotten a couple reports of sightings of Matt in Salt Lake City. And
how far was Salt Lake City?
Couple hour drive from 2 or 3 hour drive from Fort Hall. I don't know how far away it was from Snowville.
Okay.
But so there was a couple of reports that people had saw Matt in like the transient community or the homeless community. So they investigator said that they followed up on it and nothing ever came from it. But Cynthia wrote in her letter that they also went out there with flyers of his picture and stuff to transient places also, and nothing, they could never find him or any information about him. So
well, I always hear about transient places being very dangerous.
Yeah,
like people go missing, they never find them,
murders,
there's murders, different kinds of things because they're looking for money or anything, drugs,
but
people get hurt.
Cynthia also wrote that she can't imagine her son ever wanting to be living homeless like that.
Well, he
like,
could have been just passing through and then they like attacked him.
Yeah, but true. Or maybe he picked up a hitchhiker.
Maybe he wasn't alone.
There's a lot of questions in any disappearance. There's a million questions that nobody has answers for. And yeah, so I mean, that's pretty much it. They, you know, at the point of his disappearance, he seemed, you know, like he was, his mom said that he was talking to her about going back to school. You know, like he, it feels like he was going through this change. He just went through a breakup. He left his job. He was working for the Shoshone Bennett tribe for something, and then he also before had sat like on an education board, and he was like, he had a bachelor's degree in political science and he was interested in going back to school to get a master's degree, like that's what he expressed to his mom. Yeah. So that's kind of like
he was planning on coming home.
Yeah, he was planning on coming home, like something happened that he's not back home right now. We just don't know what it is.
Did the ex-girlfriend, maybe, did they ask her, question her? Because you know how they always, I mean, you never know.
I think that they question people. And, you know, there's always, it seems like in every single case, there's a detective that starts the case and then they quit, and there's another one that has to go and get familiar with 50 of these cases, and it just seems like there's just not enough pressure being put on this case where you get anything out of it. It's always just pending and pending and pending.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's in a lot of cases, or maybe they're just being biased in a certain way about this case. They don't want to take it serious for whatever reason, you know? His mom does definitely feel like the case is at a standstill. It wasn't that long ago, actually.
Yeah, I mean, 2019.
Yeah, that wasn't long ago.
Mm-mm.
It's like 4 years, almost 5 years, like 4.5 years that this happened. So, you know, I can't imagine what they're going through. So she wrote a letter of support, you know, kind of telling her story. And she did it to get answers, to get a quicker response time when a person is missing, to get professional and timely investigations, improve communication and coordination with other jurisdictions, because, mm-hmm. like, tribal lands usually have their own jurisdiction unless they have some kind of agreement with the local.
Yeah.
County or whatever. But you know, she's gonna be forever looking for her son until she finds him.
Yep.
And you know, if you're in that area or you know anything about the case, you know, if you might have seen him that night, I mean, 4 years ago is not that, like, I can remember 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So you know, or if you've seen somebody walking a dog on the side of the road just randomly, or, you know, something like that, you never know. Like, it could just be some information, that last part of information that somebody needs to find their son and bring him home.
Yep.
so you never know.
So, do you have a contact number for...
So it says if, so on his little missing, it says missing and taken indigenous person, Matthew J. Bronco, Fort Hall Indian Reservation, missing 3/20/2019. His age was 34, black hair, 195 pounds, brown eyes, 5'10", last seen in a gray sweatshirt, blue jeans, black shoes, and a black Raiders hat. And Matthew's 2011 Toyota truck was found 95 miles south in Snowville, Utah, and was reported seen on 3/21/19 parked on exit I-84, exit 7, eastbound in Snowville. He was walking his Dachshund dog, which was found 6 days later. His phone and wallet were in the truck. If you have seen or have information that can be helpful to finding Matthew, call Fort Hall Police 208-238-4000. Case number LI1903616, or leave an anonymous text tip at TIP411.
His mom's needing closure of some sort.
His mom and all of his family, his reservation.
His old classmates.
His old classmates. He's one of my old classmates. He's one of Mary's old schoolmates. You know, I'm sure he has siblings. They need answers, you know? Help us out.
Share the post.
Share the post. Tell somebody the story.
Somebody knows something.
Yeah. Somebody does know something.
Yep. Always.
Somebody knows. Pray that that person, it haunts them so much that they have to say it.
Yeah. And... we'll post all the contact information and the podcast information.
Yeah.
So you can share that information or look it up. And that is it, what we have today.
Yeah, so just in closing, I just want to kind of say again how I was saying that this reminds me of Bear's case. Because both of the moms were like, oh, you know, I'll give them a little bit of space. Like, it seems like they regret waiting that couple of days until...
Or hours.
Any amount of time.
Yeah.
And Cynthia gives advice to those who have family members that come up missing. Don't wait. When an adult goes missing, it seems like law enforcement or other people don't take it serious. No matter how much you express that this is out of their character or there's a lot of concerns or you just have that feeling, you know, do what you got to do, like the feather alert thing.
Yeah.
Something, just don't wait. If for some reason they're not missing, then oh well. But if they are, it helps a lot just to do it right away.
In some of the meetings that I was in, the sheriffs say, like, even if they claim to be Native, or they, even though they don't look Native, like, still report them as they're Native and they're missing.
So, yeah, that's basically all that I have for the story of Matthew. Share it. Get it out there. Let's get some closure for his family. Bring him home. Find him. You know,
we'll be sharing the posts on Instagram and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to follow us at Native Sisters Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Check out our website at www.nativesisterspodcast.com or nativesisterspodcast@gmail.com. All right. See you guys next time.
Bye.